Blog Talk Radio.
Of KJMA's practice of constructive community reporting, we have invited Dr. Khalid Mohammed, Minister and Supreme Captain of Minister Louis Farrakhan and the elite fruit of Islam.
Yeah, Kamachi and Priest, the chapel doors are back open. Yeah, I don't bargain with the devil or the sin he produced. Before I sell my people out, you can string up a noose. I'm a Zulu, I laugh at the lightning of Zeus. The light from my aura, enough to ripen the fruits. I'm miking some truths, enlighten the youth. Rap jihad, my voice makes a lot on the loose. Arabian nights, prayer rugs kept in a boost. To the east, my brother, where I step with the troops. Keep coming back, making sure the rest can get loose. Like old Harriet, Holy Land, sailing a chariot. My body gold from the land where they buried it. Mother Earth, my first, no choice but to marry it. Burdens of the world is cool, how I carry it. I'm not a snitch or a Judas Iscariot. How could I fear bid? Nigga, here it is. You love Ferraris and Barbies, we build pyramids. We from different minds, different continents, different consciousness, different prophets, different times. Kamachi and Priest, the Church of Philly and Brook. Give us donations, don't give us a look, cause we don't live by the word, we live with the book. I see something classic is happening, the people is hooked. It's real hip-hop, you should be taking a look. It's real hip-hop, you should be taking a look. And then y'all better all hell, or when the kings come, voices all yell. Bless us and sing some, y'all better all hell. Or when the kings come, voices all yell. Bless us and sing some, y'all better all hell. Or when the kings come, voices all yell. Bless us and sing some, y'all better all hell. Or when the kings come, voices all yell.
Emerge from crack smoke, rats and roaches. Gas that poke, young cats that wrap up dope. The hopeless, a poor man's dream. Moorish king, the locust. Over the spectrum, priest to Nephilim. Focus your eyes on an ego. Cathedral size, I'm holding a pen lethal. A needle inscribed to dopeness. Pharaoh headdress right before my bed rest. Commercial rap, stingy hooks, I can care less. A mystery book, sacred beater on my bed chest. Priest Osiris, black chalk around my eyelids. Gold mask, broad nose and wide lips. Riding papyrus, light inside my iris. Sight of a psychic, coloring flows, my mic's a pilot. When it comes to hook, I'm like a pirate. Priest Kamachi, we ether the body. Flood streets like tsunamis. Bring heat like when you eat wasabi. Priest the skeleton, my words are the flesh. The flows of melanin, song is the breath. My rhymes the medicine, it can cure after death. My mind's the afterlife, the thought sees all the words I manifest.
Hey, yeah, y'all better all hell. Or when the kings come, voices all yell. Bless us and sing some, y'all better all hell. Or when the kings come, voices all yell. Bless us and sing some, y'all better all hell. Or when the kings come, voices all yell. Bless us and sing some, y'all better all hell. Or when the kings come, voices all yell. Bless us and sing some.
Yeah, so there you have it, it's not just a rumor, it's real. Real hip hop is back up in the building. Chief Kamachi, Killer Priest, collabo. Laugh at all your mistakes. Know what I mean? Don't get scared, don't run. She's Cypress. Shout it out. Yeah. Thug it out. Gorilla yourself side to side. Just gorilla yourself.
Black power, more black power people. It's your brother, your soldier in arms, comrade in battle, Shah Saddam Kweli. And I'm happy to be able to broadcast live once again to you from right here in the hells and smells of North America. As always, I count this a privilege. It is a joy and an esteemed honor to be able to talk to you, my sisters, my brothers, and some others from this bold revolutionary radio broadcast called Black Power Radio, that official broadcast brought to you by the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. We ain't talking about no pussycat party. We ain't talking about no punk pansy party. We're talking about the new Black Panther party. And we'll have to be able to talk to you Monday night, as we do every night, coming to you live from the hills and smells of North America and broadcasting all around the globe, broadcasting over there in England, broadcasting in Africa, broadcasting in China for the people that's listening there, broadcasting in India, broadcasting in Arabia. We're happy to be able to reach every portion of the planet that we can. And this is, of course, a revolutionary radio broadcast. And if it's your first time listening with us, we thank you for joining us. If it's your second time listening with us, we thank you for joining us. If you've been a long-time supporter of ours and have been there from day one, we salute you. Thank you for being with us. A lot has happened this week. So, as always, we give thanks to the God of our forefathers and foremothers, who answers to many different names. And we recognize before our people were colonized and given a false presentation and a false interpretation of the divine supreme being. We recognize the divine supreme being in the masculine and feminine expressions as done in proper African tradition. And so I know some of you out there, you just may say, Lord God Almighty. Some of you out there may say Jehovah, or Jehovah Sikanu, or Jehovah Raka, Jehovah Nisi. Some of you out there may say Yahweh. Some say Elohim. Others say Allah, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Others of you out there, and especially southern parts of Africa, will stick one finger up in the air and recognize that one God. Others of you may say Yemenya. Others say Obachala. Others may say Oshun or Ogun. Others say Asan, the feminine Aset. Others might say Amen or Amen Ra. Some of you out there may say Jah, Jah Rastafari. Whatever your recognition of the divine, supreme, regenerative force that gives life and causes death, we bear witness that regardless to land, label, or language, there is but one God. And we give thanks to that one God for spreading many men and women, the original people on the planet Earth, who were the original founding fathers and original founding mothers. Not talking about the criminals from England or the criminals from Europe. I'm talking about the original founding fathers and the original founding mothers. The black man and black woman, the great architects of civilization, the great nation builders, the great law givers, the great civilizers at one point of the planet, my people, who in 2014 have been thoroughly stripped of a knowledge of self and robbed, and as the books say, spoiled, robbed and spoiled, lost from our names, lost from our language, lost from our culture, lost from our folkways, lost from our norms. And by the way that you can see as we're acting, we have lost our minds. And so, of course, when civilization strays from the course that is right and correct, there's always those who come amongst us to guide us back to the right way to go, to put us back where we should be at. Some of you out there use the language of messengers. You use the language of warners or apostles, some say prophets, you know, in the spiritual or religious sense. We are known as revolutionaries, those who believe in complete constructive change, the complete transformation of a wicked society into a righteous society, where you go from one point and go all the way back to its origin of beginning, making a perfect circle, perfection, renewing the history and renewing the mistakes. We are revolutionary black nationalists. We believe in territory of our own. We believe in land of our own. We believe in agriculture. We believe in industry. We believe in cooperative economics. We believe in Kuji Chagalia, self-determination. We believe in unity and collective struggle as black nationalists. We're also Pan-Africanists in the New Black Panther Party. And we believe that the black man and black woman, whether in the mother continent of Africa or the diaspora here in America, whether you are a continental African, continental original man and original woman, or if you're a diaspora African in America, and there's a difference. If you are here on this soil, you are connected to the black man and black woman on the mother continent. You're connected to the black man and black woman in France. You're connected to the black man and black woman in England. You're connected to the black man and black woman in the Caribbean. You're connected to the black man and black woman in Cuba. You're connected to the black man and black woman in Venezuela. Connected to the black man and black woman all over the world in the same struggle. And so we are revolutionary Pan-Africanists, revolutionary black nationalists. We come in 2014 to renew our hearts, renew our minds, renew our souls, renew our strength after our people had been attacked by wicked devils, slave traders, oppressors, beasts in human form, in the flesh. Our people used as building blocks for a society where they would reap none of the benefits. They'd be made promises that were not kept, treated at one point less than human, three-fifths of a human being on the books. Dred Scott telling them and telling us that the black man and black woman have no law or no rights that should be here in America. And so our people had to be made whole again, have to be made whole again. And so we're thankful for those who have been sent to us, of course, all of those who you recognize in the black nation in a scriptural sense. We bear witness to them as our program teaches. We believe in the correctness of the books that come from the Creator. We believe in the truths of it, that which has not been tampered with or mixed or diluted in any form. We're thankful for them, all of them who came. And we're thankful for those who may have not been mentioned in the book, but may have come in a different way. We give thanks for Reverend Nat Turner. We give thanks for Denmark Vesey. We give thanks for Ida B. Wells. We give thanks for Paul Robeson. We give thanks for Fannie Lou Hamer, Queen Mother Moore. Thanks for Robert F. Williams, Deacons for Defense, all of the formations, the Universal Negro Improvement Association, the UNIA, the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. We give thanks, of course, to Noble Drew Ali and the Morris Science Temple of America. Major thanks, of course, to the Nation of Islam and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and his students, such as Minister Malcolm X and Minister Louis Farrakhan, and those who came from that, the Father, Allah, formerly Clarence 13X, the Nation of Gods and Earths. We give thanks and peace to the gods and peace to the earths. We give thanks for all of you. Give thanks for those who had spirit of, that militant spirit produced, like the great Honorable Kwame Ture in Lyons County, Alabama, and him being the first pioneer of the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense in Lyons County, giving thanks to Max Stanford, later Brother Ahmad Muhammad, now formerly Max Stanford with the Black Panther Party, the New York branches, and RAM and the Revolutionary Action Movement. We thank him and thank his revolutionary contributions. We thank Brother Bob Brown, those who labored with him, and Brother Mukasa Ricks. We thank the laborers with him and those who worked to keep the Black Power mission alive down in the wicked, wicked South. We give thanks to Brother Mark Comfort, who was organizing with Kwame Ture and those and took that Panther legacy and fighting spirit up in the Bay Area, and met two brothers out of Merritt College who were determined to organize the ghetto, so-called ghetto Black man and Black woman, the Black man and Black woman in the hood, right off of the block. Chinese Revolutionary Chairman Mao called the lumpen, or the lumpen proletariat, the street man and street woman, talking about Huey P. Newton and Bobby Seale, who continued on in Panther tradition, a tradition that was before them, continued it on, took it out into the streets of Oakland, California, and began to combat the racist police departments here in America, and began to fight for the rights of Black men and Black women there in Oakland and later across the country in an armed legal self-defense stance, later being stalled by the Mulford Act, or what they call later the Panther Bill. The Mulford Act there stifled the armed resistance of the Black Panthers, and they had to move into a political struggle and even move underground, go underground and continue to fight. But we're thankful for their sacrifice. We're thankful for all of them who formed under that formation. Thankful to the Black Liberation Army that helped to liberate Queen Warrior Sister Asada Shakur and helped to fight the liberation struggle underground, expropriating all kinds of funds for the movement and doing things that you would never even hear about in regular conversation for the liberation and salvation of the Black nation. We're thankful for them. Thankful, of course, to the fragments that have sprung up, even as the U.S. government and its counterintelligence program called COINTELPRO begin to assault Black leadership all across the country, starting with the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, and framing him up on trumped-up charges and having him deported from this country, sent away even though he was the commander of a standing army of thousands, the largest united Black organization this country had ever seen came from the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey and his UNIA, with the great boats and the great banks and the great factories and the great standing army, and they sent him away on a boat because of no good devil cracker bastard named J. Edgar Hoover had in his mind to stop the rise of Black people in what he called a Black Messiah, to stop the unifying voices of our people that would come amongst us and tell us to cut out the madness. Or as the Black Power generals say, enough Negro stuff, to cut out the Negro stuff. J. Edgar Hoover had in his mind to destroy Black unity. And there are those who are in our communities today who look like us with the mind and heart of the white man that are desirous to destroy our unity. We want to give thanks to the great ones who've come before us. Well, we know that Huey P. Newton was assassinated in 1989 by Tyrone Robinson, a low-ranking member of the Black guerrilla family, started by the great Field Marshal, General George Jackson, trying to earn rank, earn stripe, they say. Some say he was sent as an agent. Whatever the case, multiple bullets went between the eyes of Huey P. Newton, and the life of Huey P. Newton snuffed out there in Oakland, California, right on the concrete. He died, but the spirit of the Panther lived. The spirit of resistance lived. As that blood stained the soil, the spirit of resistance lived. And in 1989, some brothers out of Dallas, Texas, had the foresight and wherewithal to do as our comrades in Azania, South Africa, teach us, to continue the struggle, a Luther continua, continue the struggle, and picked up the Panther banner that many were afraid to pick up. Even in 2014, there are those of you out there who are always suggesting we should change the name. We should stop the Panther. We should let the Panther die out. Let it be a relic in history, unremembered, unused or unused, useful to our people today. You want us to let it go away. Some of you war-torn, battle-fatigued soldiers would like it to go away. You would like the possibility of confrontation with your enemy to go away. You want to be all together now, all inclusive now, all peaceful now. Everything is all right now, they say, because we got a black president. Everything is all right now because our children are integrated into their schools. Everything is all right now because we can sit at an integrated lunch counter. We can eat together now. We can go to the toilet together now. We can drink out of a water fountain now. Everything is okay. That's what they say. But any of you, anybody who believes that everything is all right simply because your four parents fought for integration, you don't know what a revolution is, Minister Malcolm X told you. He said you don't know what it is because if you knew what it is, most of you, some of you would take that out of your mouth. You wouldn't even use the term, he said. If you knew the steps involved in a revolution, if you knew the methods involved in a revolution, if you knew that revolution includes and means bloodshed, he said, you would take it out of your mouth. In fact, Minister Malcolm X said you would get back in the alley. You would back up and disappear, fighting for integration. That's not revolution. That's not land reform. That's not having your own. That's not spreading the wealth or economic justice. That's not restoration of mental prowess and faculties after being struck down with the most horrific African Holocaust anywhere to be found on the planet Earth. That's not the remedy, to be integrated with your enemy and to be able to eat lunch at the same counter or to go into the same restroom. Those should have been guaranteed privileges anyway just because you were born. Revolution means you have power. You take control. You own. You're able to mete out justice. We'll talk about that. And so we must talk about the great ones out of Dallas, Texas, who began this organization in 1989. Some of you believe that the New Black Panther Party started from the Nation of Islam. I have to correct you for public record and official record. The New Black Panther Party did not begin from the Nation of Islam. The New Black Panther Party, like the Black Panther Party before it, has members in it that are either in the Nation of Islam or once upon a time in the Nation of Islam. Some of the members, like the Black Panther Party before it, has members that come right from the church or Christian church background. The New Black Panther Party, like the Black Panther Party before it, has members in it that don't adhere to any spirituality whatsoever, but they believe in the revolutionary principles, and they believe in the 10-point platform and program of the New Black Panther Party. Other members are Rastas. Other members are Moors or Moor Science. Other members are Buddhists, or black Buddhists who believe in the black enlightened one named Buddha, or the title of Buddha, who wore that title named Buddha. Other of members, you have different faith. Some of you, you know, are just a straight up African spirituality. You're just straight up African spirituality, and you don't have none of that later on stuff. We have various membership in the organization. So I want to clear that up tonight on Black Power Radio, that every single member in the new Black Panther Party is a member of the Nation of Islam, or once upon a time was the Nation of Islam. Now, those of us who are blessed to either walk that walk or have that walk or be walking in that, but not everybody. Nothing wrong with it at all. But nothing wrong with the walk that others are walking either. That's the beauty of a Black revolutionary political party. See, in America, we play that crap with each other. But in Africa, they don't play that crap. If you, you know, have a different particular spirituality, they don't even trip with you on that because they believe in revolution. They believe in the Black land. They believe in Africa. They believe in what the cause is. They're not tripping on you over that spiritual gangbanging stuff. But in America, we'll be gangbanging on each other. And I don't mean in no sexual way. I mean in a fighting way. We'll be fighting one another. Because one will call themselves a Christian. One will call themselves a Muslim. One will call themselves a Hebrew. One will say, I ain't none of that. I'm 5%. I'm God. Another will say, I ain't none of that. I'm a goddess. And we'll have all these labels and all these titles and get nothing done because we're fighting over labels and titles and not advancing the struggle. And so that's why we always tell you, regardless to land, regardless to label, regardless to language, we bear witness in the one. We bear witness in the oneness of our people. We know that you may speak a different language. Some of you see things a little differently. We want to meet you there in the middle where we can agree. If you would read our 10-point program, which is featured on all of our newspapers, featured on our websites. If you would read our platform and program and know what it is that we are about, you wouldn't be so easily distracted when the enemies use the media that they control to manipulate the public opinion on who and what the new Black Panther Party is. You wouldn't be so easily swayed and so easily distracted when they use their media to try to throw you off and try to throw us off. It wouldn't even bother you. You wouldn't even give it a second look. You wouldn't give it a second thought. You wouldn't even give it a second chance because you would know that it's some bull, it's some BS, it has nothing to do with us. But many of you don't know what we stand for. You don't know what we believe. You saw some clip on National Geographic of Minister King Samir Shabazz having one of his days and going in on the white man, and he said, I hate all the crackers, and you believe that that's all we stand for. That's all the Panthers believe is hating some crackers. Now, let me tell you, after all that our people have suffered and all that our people have gone through and continue to suffer to this day through the plans, aims, schemes, and machinations of this beast, I can't blame any descendant of African slaves for having hatred in their heart for those who have been their open oppressors and enemies for the last 6,000 years and 400 years in specific. But what I would say is that as we grow and develop, we have to move past a stage of just simple hatred, of having a hatred for the cracker, as we say. It's got to produce to some work. It's got to move into some work within your own community. It's not just enough to say you don't like the beast, you hate the white man. That's fine. We got those that straight up, that's all they want to do is hate the white man, to have some confrontation with the white man, and you need them kind in your movement, just like they got the kind in their movement who straight up hate the black man, hate the black woman, and don't want nothing to do with you, as Donald Sterling clearly pointed out to you just a few weeks ago. There are plenty of Donald Sterlings out there, And you need the Kings of Mir Shabazzes out there who are on the point, who have just as much fire to match fire with fire and make a greater fire for black liberation. But to strike a balance and to strike my art, to strike a balance, we got a great work to do within our community. And that we are so destroyed that if we never mention the white man whatsoever, which we will continue to show you where it come from, but just in talking, if we never mention them, we got so much work to do amongst ourselves. We would stay busy for the next 500 more years, more plus years. We would stay busy for the next 600 years. There's so much that has happened to our people. They are treating people who have served in the military right now for post-traumatic stress disorder. They're saying that these Marines and these veterans and others are going places and shooting up places because they suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. Well, black people in America suffer from post-traumatic slave disorder. And we have been made slaves in physical form for 400 plus years and now in mental form in 2014, in economic form in 2014, in political form in 2014. We are on automatic, systematic, remote control by what our foreparents went through. The effects are in our minds in 2014. But there's no treatment going on for post-traumatic slave disorder. There's only classifications that are designed to put you on medication to enrich the pharmaceutical companies. I think Brother Tom Joyner talked about it a few weeks ago. They call it now the hood disease, I think they called it. They say now that if you come up in the hood, you come up in the ghetto, that you got a disease. It's called a hood disease. They want to classify you. Any of us who have come up rough in the hells and smells of North America. This is the type of thing that we're fighting against. And so we thank Brother Aaron Michaels for starting up the New Black Panther Party in 1989 against all odds. We thank Brother Michael McGee for starting the Black Panther Militia. He's an OG Black Panther member for those of you spreading that lie saying that the New Black Panther Party had nothing to do with OG Black Panthers. Michael McGee, who is one of the pillars of the New Black Panther Party for self-defense with the Black Panther Militia, was an OG member of the Black Panther Party. You got to do your research. Some of you out there just talking, and some of you all are just repeating the lie so much that you believe it to be the truth. But you got to come here to the Truth Hour, and you can't touch that dial because we're going to let you know what time it is. We thank Aaron Michaels. We thank those who are with him. And we thank a bold, bald-headed black man who was 100% black man, coming up out of Dillard University, coming up out of Pepperdine, an educated black man who matriculated his way through the advanced classes of college and heard the voice of the national representative and spokesman of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Minister Louis Farrakhan, on his campus, and that strong voice that many of you are well familiar with struck a chord in him and opened him up and made him come to life and begin to want to fight for the liberation struggle of our people. He joined his side and joined the Honorable Elijah Muhammad's side early in the 60s or so. Early on, joined their side, building for a nation of our own, building for land and territory of our own, building. And when the Honorable Elijah Muhammad left from amongst us in 75. He didn't do like so many did when the nation split, which was what we call go back into the grave, start smoking and partying and boogieing, hooking up with white girls. He didn't do that. He went into the jungles of Africa, went into Uganda with the great general Idi Amin and was fighting the cracker over there in Africa, in South Africa, fighting over there under the name of Malik Rashidin, fighting over there to rid our people of apartheid and the practices of the colonial white man in South Africa. And he was called back here to help as Minister Farrakhan worked to rebuild the movement that was destroyed, taken all the way down to the ground. As J. Edgar Hoover had said that he would do it all black movements, he took the Nation of Islam down to the ground where it was no longer a flag of our own, but it was the U.S. of A. flag, the red, the white, and the blue flying up in them temples. And so Minister Farrakhan said he had to rebuild the movement and rebuild the work and put the self-determination practices that the nation was famous for back in the movement. He called on Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad came to his side. And then when a few others began to work to rebuild that movement, the Nation of Islam, you can never not mention the name of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad as a founding pillar of that movement and that organization. You cannot write Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad out of Nation of Islam history. No matter what water has gone under the bridge once upon a time, you cannot cast over or look over the fact that it was him who, before there was a standing army of what they call Fruit of Islam, or the military training of the men who belonged to Islam in North America, before there was a standing military of men in the Nation of Islam, it was Dr. Khalid Muhammad there, toting his Bible and toting his pistol. As the Minister Farrakhan will tell you, he had pages carved out in his Bible with his pistol tucked in his Bible. It was him who, at one point when a fight broke out, took and picked up Minister Farrakhan off his feet and backed him into a corner and drew his gun to protect Minister Louis Farrakhan. And so you cannot write him out of history. And New Black Panther Party, you cannot write Dr. Khalid Muhammad out of history. You must keep Dr. Khalid Muhammad in the history and keep his name alive. You out there in the Black Nation, you out there in the RBG movement, you out there in the Nation of Gods and Earths, you out there in the Nubian Nation, all of you out there, he has touched all of you. He's touched every segment of black organization that you can have out there. Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad spoke to it. You can find his DVDs. You can find his lectures out there on YouTube, the MP3s, talking to every segment of you out there. He believed in coalition unity. He believed in coalition politics. He believed in black united fronts. He believed in us working together. And so he talked to all of us. And so I caution us in the New Black Panther Party. And I also urge us, those in the Nation of Islam, I urge you, wherever you at, do not write out the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad from the history books. Lift him up high. Lift that bold, bald-headed black man up high before the world. One of the only black men to be censored in Congress in a special session where they tried to vote to strip his freedom of speech away from him because he was speaking so hard and so bold on the enemy, speaking so cold and so strong on the enemies of black people. They tried to take away his freedom of speech long before 9/11 ever happened. And so lift him up and know that he is the black power general of black people and the black nation. He continues to be, in 2014, the revolutionary standard bearer of the black nation. And when you see that in your mind, you got to salute that in your mind, and you got to live that with your life. We're thankful to our former chairman, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. We're thankful to another bold black man who came out of Howard University, formed a group called Unity Nation, and begin to push in the spirit of that man I just talked about. He organized with Tony Martin, organized with Dr. Leonard Jeffries. He organized with so many out there to bring black consciousness to your college campus and to your television. Bring it to your minds where people were buck dancing and bootlicking. He stood up even for O.J. at a time where people were leaving O.J. Simpson, as you just seen on Geraldo Rivera. He talked about it. We want to thank the black man who organized us down there in Gina, organized us down there in Katrina. He organized us down there in Duke. He organized us down there in Newberry, South Carolina, organized us in New York for Sean Bell. He organized to catch that no good bastard legally through the use of the law with that no good bastard George Zimmerman, who murdered, and I still say murdered, our young brother, our young warrior, Trayvon Martin. He used his legal knowledge to comb the books like Huey P. Newton was doing, handcuffing them pigs who were brutalizing our people. He used his legal expertise to comb the books and let the people understand that we could form a coalition to do a lawful citizen's arrest and arrest the murderers of our people, as we can do on many occasions when properly understood. We're talking about our chairman emeritus and the attorney at war, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. And I send you all greetings from our national chairman on the scene today. That black man who is moving and shaking, and I bear witness crisscrossing this country. I was just with him just a few hours ago. We were right there in Ohio. And then he moved. He went from Columbus into Cincinnati, then he's all up into North Carolina, Virginia, all in D.C., just moving all over the place, just moving like a energizer, black rabbit bunny, black power bunny, just moving all over the place, because he's got the spirit. He's been trained out of Dallas, Texas, former national assistant to the Black Power General, later National Chief of Staff to the Attorney at War, Malik Zulu Shabazz, trained as a warrior first and a thinker, a warrior and a thinker and a professor. He lives this. I send you greetings of peace, prosperity, and black power from our National Chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga. And brothers and sisters, I know I gave you all a lot in a little time, but I had to give it to you because there's so much happening out here in the world today. There's so much misinformation or disinformation, and I say that with a D-I, double the S, disinformation that is out there where people are looking to throw slander on the new Black Panther Party for self-defense, and I want to tell you, we can take it, no matter what slanders out there, no matter what fool pops their head up out there to have something to say about the new Black Panther Party. Damn it, you're going to have a whole lot to say in a few short days. And many of you, some of you even, are going to be seeing us in a few short days. Because as we crisscross this country, we're interested in one thing and one thing only, and that's to raise our people to a living perpendicular. And as the Masons say, I don't want to give away your secrets, Masons, but, you know, we want to stand them up on the square. We're interested in raising our people up and picking our people up out the mud. And sometimes this mission gets messy. I'm not here to tell you that every day is going to be sunny and every day is going to be cheery and all the time that we just going to get along. Sometimes we bump heads in this movement. But at the end of it all, we are still brothers and sisters. And so I say that to anybody out there who may be listening for some kind of sound bite to see what you can run and take back to those spreading that foolishness. I ain't got nothing for you, chump. I ain't got nothing for you. I ain't got nothing but some love for you and got some work for you I want to tell you to suit up and boot up and let's get busy. I want to send a revolutionary salute to Sister Maya Angelou. Sister Maya Angelou, who made her spiritual transition just a day or so ago. We send her a revolutionary salute, as we know she was a stalwart in our community. And she was a staunch supporter of the Panther. That's what I said. Maya Angelou supported some Panthers. And she, even in the early days in the 60s, I believe it was, even taught at the liberation schools. Some of y'all didn't know that. You thought she was just running around kicking some lyrics on the poetry. Sister Maya Angelou was teaching at them liberation schools. So we send her a revolutionary salute. And we pray that the ancestors receive her energy well, that the energy is received, and that it comes back in a physical form. And a stronger, more bolder version of a Maya Angelou comes back. That's what we're talking about, energy that never is created nor destroyed, but just comes back in a different form. We also give a salute to another warrior out there from the Asian nation, or the yellow man, the yellow woman, Sister Yuri. Sister Yuri out there, Kochiyama, who was there with Minister Malcolm X as he was assassinated. And we send our revolutionary salutes and greetings to that family and those who are in mourning for her as she transitioned today at 93 years young. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, they are great ones who are leaving from amongst us. We also must take time to send our revolutionary support and revolutionary love to the family of Brother Fahim. Brother Fahim Ali, who was shot down in cold blood, a Panther. I want to be clear. He was a new black Panther shot down in cold blood in Miami, Florida. For what reports are saying, he was moving on the dope traffic as these parasitic bastards who were propped up by the portions of the U.S. government that instituted crack cocaine and chemical and biological warfare against our people. Brother Fahim was moving against these no-good bastards and challenging these bastards who were selling this poison to our people. And these punks shot our brother in cold blood. And he went on to the realm of the Egun, or the ancestral plane. Well, I'm here to tell you, you punk faggots, you won't get away with that. You won't get away with that in self-defense. And if any of you out there have it in your mind to harm a Panther doing the good work of resurrecting our people, in the name of all that is righteous, in the name of all that is good, the righteous men and women of the God of our forefathers and foremothers will find your raggedy ass and hunt you down to every corner of the planet Earth. You will begin to pray the police find you before the righteous men and women of God find you in self-defense. We don't bother anybody. We don't mess with anybody. We're not out here breaking any law. We're doing the best we can to help our people put a smile on their face and walk in the light of a brighter sun and know their divine destiny. And some of you out there refuse to accept the commitment to change and turn this thing around and represent your ancestors and be your ancestors. And so some of you will have to meet the fate of counter-revolutionaries. And this is some real talk I'm talking on the radio. I know what I'm saying, and I know who I'm saying it to. When you come against the movement and you are counter-revolutionary, there are those who we have no control over in the ranks who love this mission so much, who love this cause so much, who love the people so much, that even though we say, be cool, stand down, wait for further instructions, because they love the spirit of a righteous revolutionary. They will hang your ass from the highest pole in their city or somewhere in America as an example. And I'm just saying, we can't stop the spirit of our ancestors from getting up in our people and defending our people. That's the kind of black man and black woman that J. Edgar Hoover feared. He feared the rise of a black messiah who could unite the people around black nationalism. He feared the rise of a people who were not afraid to go for self and to do for self. But there are some of you who don't want to separate. You don't want to embrace the program of the new Black Panther Party. You don't want to go for freedom. You don't want to go for power, or what we say, black power. You don't want Kuji Chagalia, which is self-determination. You just want to be the white man's nigger, as Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught us. You're just the white man's nigger in a dressed-up way. Some of you, the white man's nigger with a Kuji shirt on. The white man's nigger with a basketball cap on. The white man's nigger with Timberlands on. Some of you rappers, the white man's nigger with a bunch of chains on. Some of you entertainers out there, the white man's nigger with a stage and a microphone. Some of you out there just want to be the white man's nigger, and you do the best that you can every day. So we make no excuse for you. We offer you the olive branch. We offer you the medicine of Marcus Messiah Garvey. And we offer you the medicine of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We offer you the medicine of Paul Robeson. We offer you the medicine of Harriet Tubman. We offer you the medicine of Toussaint Louverture. We offer you the medicine of Nat Turner. But if you don't want to swallow the medicine and you want to remain sick, then like what has to happen with those who have severe cases of cancer, you must be removed. And there are parasites in the black community that must be removed from the black community. The black community has been turned on itself. That was the whole aim of a Willie Lynch. The white man didn't intend to be chasing after you, brothers and sisters in the cotton fields of Georgia, for the rest of his and her life. They didn't intend for that. They can't catch most of you. Hell, some of you done got so damn good you know how to hide your car from repo man. Repo man can't even find where you put your car at. You got your car four blocks down the road, backed up in a neighbor's garage. And you walk four blocks down the road to get your car out your neighbor's garage just to go to work. You done got that good, the repo man can't even find you. The white man and woman didn't intend to be chasing you and me and them through no fields and no swamps of no Georgia and no Mississippi and no Alabama for the rest of their lives. They came up with a methodology that put us at odds with each other, that determined that we would fight each other over our perceived differences, that if one was tall and one was short, one would be light-skinned, one would be dark-skinned, one would have thick lips, one would have thin lips, one would have a quote-unquote good job, another one have a mediocre job. We would have fight each other over these differences, and that would set us at odds with each other. And at the same time, it would maintain the control of the slave masters, the white slave masters, over us. Well, look at your condition today, black man and black woman. By us fighting and killing one another, by us bickering and beefing with one another, by us always threatening to harm one another, we help to maintain the rule of white supremacy. That's what I said. White supremacy can't exist without black people. America could not exist, wouldn't exist, wouldn't run right without the black man and black woman. You are the foundational pillars of this country. You are the foundational pillars of the countries of the world, to be truthful to you. America wouldn't run right without you. Y'all bear with me. It's a hard subject to get through, talking about Brother Fahim and talking about Sister Maya Angelou and talking about our great ones that are leaving from amongst us. America needs the black man and black woman to a point, but they've set up the structure so much so that now you are in the way. Now when you begin to talk about wanting freedom and wanting what's yours, you become an eyesore. They don't want you no more. They'll continue to follow you around in stores and do all kind of crazy stuff to let you know you're not wanted, but your people built the country. See, there's some contradictions out there. And in your mind and in your heart, you know that you are entitled. You are entitled to have what is due to your people. If the so-called Jews can get reparations, and reparations come to certain segments of Eskimos, certain segments of reparations came to the Asian people, certain segments of reparations came to Indians and others. If it came to them, then you know it should come to us, because our people built it for free and reap none of the benefits. And we fight through the capitalist society of America and its poverty today, because the rich want to remain rich on the top and keep the rest on the bottom off of something they did not build. And so you damn right black people are mad. All black people are mad in North America. I don't care who you are. All of you are mad and angry to one degree or another. But some of you don't know how to deal with your anger. You don't know how to deal with your frustration. You don't know how to deal with those who are on top of you in the social ladder, who continue to rain down hell on you and me on a daily basis. You don't know how. So you get those who become frustrated like a King Samir Shabazz, who just yell out of pain and say, I hate all you white people. He say every last iota of a cracker he say he hated. That comes from a frustration of a black man who say he had wrote down all the atrocities he could find against his people. And in writing down atrocities, he did not see where America and its leadership answered for its atrocities. America did not work. The leadership here in America has not worked to resolve any of the issues that it has heaped on my people and our people. So that's where you get a frustration like a King Samir Shabazz, who just say, to hell with all of you. I don't want to be around none of you. Can't deal with any of you. And there are plenty of us out there that feel that way, and you're justified in feeling that way. Let no one make you feel like you're not justified in feeling that way. Because if any other people were in our condition and in our position, they wouldn't just do like these little random pita-bread white boys and just go shoot up schools and shoot up things for no reason just because they got fired from the job. They'd be terrorizing and slaughtering because of what happened to their people. That's how you know we the people of God's choice, and that we the people of God because our mercy reigns supreme in America every day. We have not tore this bitch up yet, pardon my language. We ain't tore it up at all. In fact, most of you are trying to work in it and work with it. Most of you are trying to be integrated into it. That's how you know you're the people of God, and that you're righteous by nature, that you're peaceful by nature, because you spend the rest of your life trying to find peace and make peace with an enemy who has fought you from day one and set up institutions to fight you and me from day one. And I ain't mad at you, but it can be a weakness, because when you got a people who live to fight and who live to be barbaric and were raised in barbaric cold climates, you can't always be peaceful with your economics. Sometimes you got to just buy black and you got to support black, and you got to build black. Sometimes you got to just shop black. Sometimes you got to just support black. Sometimes you just got to write black. Black articles, black news, black raps. Sometimes you just got to come with that blackness and bring the raw, because you got to support yourself. You got to know that you're at war. I said you have to know that you're at war. Some of you, you may not be fighting in the war, but you are at war. Black man and woman, you are at war. And you have to know this. Sometimes you have to draw the line in the sand and let it be known where you stand and what side you're on. Time and for the rest of your life. They must know in the world that there is a black nation here that cares about itself, because they produced the niggerhood that you see. I know we get angry in our communities and we get mad at each other and say, man, I wish these niggers would change. But it was produced by them. Their education taught us. It's their economic system, their capitalist mentality, the dog eat dog, that came from them. That didn't come from us. We didn't teach ourselves that. We were sharing with African communalism. We shared with each other. If you had a bowl of soup, that bowl of soup was my bowl of soup. If you were cold, I could wrap up with you. We could wrap together. That came from Africa. They taught you the dog eat dog mentality. So we have to talk about protecting each other and protecting ourselves. But we damn sure got to talk about protecting our lives in the new Black Panther Party and outside the party. We gotta talk about protecting our babies, protecting the future Trayvon Martins, protecting the future Joy Davises, protecting the future Sister Rakia Boyds. You got to talk about some survival out here, because COINTELPRO has continued. Even though they have said that it was discontinued as an official program, it has continued and now is manifesting or showing itself in the institutions of America. The prison industrial complex is COINTELPRO. The educational system is COINTELPRO. When I say COINTEL, I mean counterintelligence. It counters your intelligence. It counters your ability to organize. Many of the banking institutions, COINTELPRO, continues. It didn't just stop with no J. Edgar Hoover. I'm going to take calls. So y'all call in at 646-478-4447. We're going live. We live here in North America. It didn't stop with just J. Edgar Hoover. Some of you all don't even know who today's modern Hoover is. You don't even know who the director of the FBI is today. You don't keep up with stuff like that. Some of you don't even watch the news. Talking about the news is so sad. Hell, the conditions we live in are sad. You need a reminder of what the hell is going on so you know what the hell to fight against. You don't know. You need to know about Robert Mueller, the present director of the FBI, and their present-day machinations against the rises of our people, the rise of our people. You got to be studying you some what happened after 9/11 or September the 11th and them attacks and the Patriot Act, where they had a vaguely, loosely determined definition of terrorists, and anybody who fit their vague, loose definition of terrorists fit the criterion. The same way that the police departments deal with black men and women without impunity in the cities of America, that you fit the description. Any crime that was committed, they can just jacket you with the crime and tase you to death and shoot you to death and use all kinds of excessive forces and go scot-free because they said you fit the profile. That's what's happened on an international scene and a national scene. The black man and black woman has been criminalized and has been institutionalized and warehoused within the prison industrial complexes for Walmart and other companies, where you're now building license plates for cheap labor, 5 cents and 10 cents. to boost the economy and help maintain the economy, the struggling economy here in America. Can't even go above a regular above ground minimum wage in America. I'm talking about some real facts. We're talking about the continuance of COINTELPRO. Looking at Patriot Act. Looking at the NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, where they're no longer using warrants to come into the home. Don't need a damn warrant necessarily to come into your home, but if you are viewed in a certain light and category, you fit their profile, they just ransack your damn door down and come in there and arrest you without due process. What they call them Miranda rights. You know, Attorney Malik Shabazz know that law. Talk about them Miranda rights. There's no Miranda rights. They just say you fit the profile and come with us, nigga. See? See how the slavery has advanced itself? See how the patty rollers evolved into the police departments? You see how the slave catchers evolved into the bounty hunters? You see how it has all been a progression? Do you see how your own people's enslavement in the African Holocaust has progressed into the urban warfare, the street tribes and the gangs in America, and the black-on-black so-called violence in America? It's all relative, and it's all connected. I'm here to tell you, these white folks didn't need no damn law to kick down your door, kick down the door and come in. Some of you are spooky as hell, scared to talk even some talk against the white man on Facebook. Some of you won't even say the white man no more. You scared even say the white man or white woman. You don't even want to put the truth where the truth belongs. You don't want to call out who did something to our people. You just want to have them put all the blame on us, and we do have blame in it. There are bootlicking, buck dancing Negroes in our community that have to be tossed overboard on the ship to liberation. But it didn't start there. If you're going to stop a flood, you got to start at the root of the problem. You got to start where the source is coming from. Well, who was it that put drugs in our community? Who put crack in our community? Y'all talk to me. Who put guns in our community originally for us to kill each other? Big truckloads of guns, automatic weapons, Uzis and whatnot found in California in tribal tense areas, war-torn, drug-filled areas, and nobody know how the hell the truck got there in the first place, didn't see where it came from. Dr. Collins taught us all the time, you didn't have no boats and no planes, no tractors and no trains. Where did it come from? He said you didn't have a spike, a stick, a spoke, a huff, a puff, a smoke. Where did it come from? It's being shipped in here and put into your family's hands and mouths. My family, full of drug addicts and alcoholics, your family, drug addicts, alcoholics, and dependents, because of a plan to annihilate us and to remove us and to keep us from ever reaching our true potential. And that's why when the new Black Panther Party begins to work to clean black people up and tell you to quit all that damn drinking and all that damn smoking and huffing and all that hard drugs and all that, clean yourself up. Put some knowledge in your head. Take a damn bath. Dress yourself up nice. Go out amongst your people and represent something. Take the program to them. Feed your people. Clothe your people. Talk to your people. Embrace your people. Tell them how good they are, how great they are, and how they've been tricked. When we tell you to do that, some of you look at us like we're crazy. Because you don't think no good could come out of black people because COINTELPRO said so. J. Edgar Hoover said it wasn't no good coming up out of black people, so you believe that. Robert Mueller continues that tradition today, and you believe that. These other machinations and functions out there, they say that, and you believe that. You don't have no resistance to it whatsoever. It's crazy as hell. So I prepare to take your calls, and we're going to dig into this. Has COINTELPRO continued in 2014? If it has continued, what does it look like? How do you recognize COINTELPRO when you see it? What has been the lasting effects on our movement? How was an illegal program like this and others, these other illegal programs, how are they allowed to exist with no resistance, no response? What are the signs that they're operational? How can you recognize it? How do you know that your aims and objectives of a better community are being thwarted from the top, the higher echelons of this society? What about our political prisoners? What about those who served time like Geronimo Pratt, and later it was proven he was innocent, set up by COINTELPRO, counterintelligence operatives, and made to serve times, decades of time? What about them? Now he's passed on and probably gone due to the ill treatment he received in the cages of America. What about Imam Jamil Al-Amin, formerly H. Rap Brown, who is going through medical issues right now, going through some medical situation right now, and is not getting the treatment that he needs? What about him? What about a man who was cleaning up the west side of Atlanta, Georgia? That's what I said. He was cleaning it up. He didn't just find Islam and stop soldiering. Some of you get religion and stop soldiering. That's my problem with you. You can be whatever spirituality you want to be, but don't get spirituality and get so damn spooky that you lose the facts of reality, that you got a soldier in this world, struggle in this world, and fight for what's yours. Don't let your religion put you in a corner to where you can't be a revolutionary. Doesn't make sense. They go hand in hand. Imam Jamil Al-Amin needs our help. He needs us right now. He needs us to come to his aid and to put pressure on those who have him captive. Again, formerly H. Rap Brown. They used to always say, let rap rap. That black man stood up for us. That black man made sure that we understood, as he said, that violence in America is as American as cherry pie. That man was on it, brothers and sisters, and right now he's going through a medical situation, and he's not getting the kind of support he needs or the kind of medical attention that he needs. And so what we have to do out here, even though this could be considered a penitentiary out here, what we got to do out here is we got to organize. We got to organize for him out here so that he can know that we got his back and that he knows that what he did was not in vain. Are y'all hearing me? We don't want any of our political prisoners to feel like their works were in vain. This black man was one of the strongest voices for the black liberation struggle. The black man who worked that Black Panther thing, man. He worked that SNCC, that Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. It's a man who was cleaning up people in some of the worst neighborhoods that America had to offer. A man who has been in jail for a while now, but he has maintained the fight and maintained his spirit. A man, another black man, who was set up on trumped up charges. Y'all hear me? Set up on trumped up charges. Doesn't receive the visits that he needs to receive. Doesn't get to see his family like many of us get to see our families. Doesn't all the time get to see his sons and loved ones, his wives, like we get to see ours. He doesn't get to do that. He made a sacrifice for the cause. He has made a sacrifice for the cause. And we have to let him know and let others know that his cause and his sacrifice, our cause and sacrifice, is not in vain. It cannot just be on organizations like the Jericho Movement and Amnesty International and all these other. It's got to be on some New Black Panther Party. New Black Panthers, you carry it, and we carry that panther on our shoulders. And we carrying this panther all around the world. And that Imam, that revolutionary soldier, he's suffering. He's suffering in a small little cell right now. I think he might be able to get out for about an hour or so. Locked down, I think, 23 hours. for one hour, maybe, just to stretch in a little cage. And then back to the 23-hour lockdown. See, we're talking about sacrifice. People who have sacrificed their lives. Their lives. So that we could advance. And so we would be less than comrades if we didn't pick up the struggle where it stopped with him right there and continue to fight. And so I'm going to be giving out information by the end of this broadcast on how to help Imam Jamil Al-Amin, formerly H. Rye Brown. Also, information on how to help the family in the burial of Brother Fahim Ali, who still has incurred a cost. His burial will be Wednesday. But there's still some cost with that, and the family needs some help to put that black man down, and we need you all to help send our comrade off in a righteous revolutionary way. I'm going to give that information out to you. But we're talking about the onslaught of COINTELPRO in 2014. Let me go right to the phone lines. Thank you all for listening, and we're going to get right into this conversation and get right into it because it's heavy, heavy, heavy. A lot of information, but I don't want to take you all's time. Let me go right to area code 925-776, 925-776. You're on live with Black Power Radio, your host, Sean Saddam Kwali. Come on in with your question, your comment. It's COINTELPRO continued in 2014. Welcome. I'm Black Power.
So as it raked me over the coals in 1971 and destroyed my life, I am a witness. I am a victim. And I am infinitely aware of this conspiracy and J. Edgar Hoover's direct order to enlist me to spy on my own community along with Gordon Parks, along with a number of other photographers and journalists across the country, and to your knowledge, Ernest Withers, who was exposed as a COINTELPRO agent not too very long ago. I knew Ernest Withers. I knew all of these people as I worked for Jet and Ebony magazines as a contributing photojournalist for 14 years. And only to find out that my publisher, John H. Johnson, was controlled by COINTELPRO, by the CIA and the NSA. He couldn't print what he wanted to print in Jet and Ebony magazines, nor could any other black publishing company or any other filmmaker or author. We all were influenced and many were intimidated. I went on the run in 1971 after being Ron Dellum's photographer when he's running for the 13th Congressional District, the Congress of the United States. I had to inform him that I had been contacted by the FBI to spy on him in my community. I would end up in Chicago, Illinois, under the protection of Elijah Muhammad, living with his grandson, Tahaluddin Muhammad, and working at the a creation of Malcolm X, Muhammad Speaks newspaper, and making changes there with my skills and talents. But my life would never be the same, and these people would haunt me, and they would come back and they would eke out their revenge for me not going along with that program all the many years later, and would seize my life. Okay? Yeah, I know that COINTELPRO is alive and well, and it's in many more forms. It's even in forms of very wealthy people like John D. Rockefeller over 100 years ago spent $479 million with the 1902 miseducation plan. He spent his own money to keep black people down. There are other corporations who are attempting to do the very same thing and effectively doing the very same thing to us today because they are so entrenched in their xenophobia, their fear of us, our very faces, our very dark faces. They fear. They are entrenched in what they are trying to do, which is to affect our international genocide, not just locally here in America, my brother. And I will stop my air for a minute to allow you to question me. Hello?
Can you hear me, brother?
Yes, I hear you now.
Okay. Yes, sir, I didn't catch your name.
I'm Paul Roberson, formerly Johnson's Publishing Company, Judd Nebody Magazine's contributing photojournalist.
Beautiful. Yeah, my honor, brother. My honor to be on with you. And so you're informing us that you're one of the soldiers that's a living witness to the atrocities of COINTELPRO, the Holocaust of COINTELPRO.
Absolutely. I was a 21-year-old entrepreneur. I just created the largest black-owned and operated photography studio in Northern California, in Oakland, California. Huey Newton, H. Rap Brown, everybody that you mentioned are people I knew and interacted with, and I am so sorry because I got an indication that my brother H. Rap Brown has passed on. Was that your what you were saying?
No, sir. I was saying he's having a medical situation.
Oh, thank goodness, yes.
He, as far as I know, he's still with us.
Yeah, but I knew all these soldiers, and they were hardcore. All you cowards out there now, all you people who are not standing up, you are cowards. I cannot stand the sight of some of you in what you do. Have you noticed, Negroes, that they have stricken your faces from the mass media? You don't even see that silly Jesse Jackson on television anymore. You have one person who has a television show that is still functioning relatively well to get the message out, but they removed all the rest of you because you have no power, because you never created your own black business and industrial networks. You punked out like John H. Johnson punked out, and I know him to have done that. When I brought to him the greatest threat to the black community ever, when I reported to John H. Johnson the cocaine freebase conspiracy that was about to hit us from Argentina and the Germans who synthesized cocaine freebase, the neurochemical mind control agents they put on the streets of America in vials, they pre-shaped the cocaine for you to smoke, you know, to make you the Manchurian candidate. And all over America, all of a sudden, and if you didn't notice it, I did, black folks start killing each other on a regular basis all over this country. Neurochemical mind control agents, beyond your imagination at this stage of the game in 2014, you know, we are up against what's called, I call in, the barcode conspiracy. They by barcode, put into our communities things to destroy us. The food you get secondhand from stores in white communities and all the other things that they drop on you, like they did all those years ago with the guns and the dope in your communities. Wake up, black people. Wake up, black people. I'm telling you, genocide is standing over your freaking dome.
That's real talk, and that's why we sounding the alarm, and I appreciate brothers like yourself connecting with us and connecting with this new generation. Let us know how real it is.
But you know this new generation? What is happening to our children and we're letting happen to our children is not natural. It is not natural, folks. You've got to know that our children are being exposed to a marijuana that is laced with neurochemical mind control agents. Most of the folks who don't pay attention to science and education, you know, they're not even slightly aware that marijuana can even cause breast growth in the people just on its own, okay, in males. But when you take it further and you have all of us smoking the medical marijuana, where is this marijuana coming from? It's being grown by individuals in this country now that don't have your best interests at heart, and you don't even know what's in the dope you're smoking.
Right.
You don't even know. Okay, but look what it's doing to us. Isn't it obvious to you, brother, what, you know, is happening is not just isolated incidents, you know, of trisexualism. You know, the fact that we've got young black kids talking about sucking penises. I mean, they're in junior high school talking about sucking penises. Don't you know, folks,
right?
Haven't you seen that your children don't even walk anymore? They waddle like freaking ducks. They waddle down the damn street. They are fagging and sagging, and they think swagging. They don't even know what swagger is. They're cowards, and they're ignorant little bastards that if you have allowed to run ruin over your community. You won't even stand up and stop the criminal activity, the intimidation of your grandmama, your great-great-grandmother, your women and children in the community by your own young. You know, brother, many years ago I wrote a piece. We have cast our youth onto the streets like bread onto the water, and the tide is returning us a terrible harvest. Can't you see, folks, all you Christian fuckery fools, excuse me, that slipped out, all you Christian brainwashed idiots, okay, aren't you seeing what's happening in Africa now? Christians are being slaughtered by, guess who? Muslims, okay? It's a religious war been going on since Saladin declared eternal jihad on Christians, and look who's suffering now. Black African people being slaughtered, burned, stabbed, cut, hacked to pieces. And what are you doing over here in America? No thing. COINTELPRO all over the world, isn't it not, sir?
Global white supremacy.
In action.
I've
seen it with my own eyes. You see, I have been there. I've been where you folks don't even have a clue. You know, I had in 1971 when I ended up when Paul Cobb came and rescued me, telling me that he could help me in my situation on the run from the CIA and the NSA. I said, how the hell can you do that? He says, well, you can go to work for me. You can become the photographer to a man who's about to become the president of the United States. So I became photographer to George McGovern. I was George McGovern's photographer. It's a big unknown information to most people, but I was with this group of people, with Blacks for McGovern and in and around all of what was going on and all would be said. I would find out, from Black Ops people and from people like Lyndon LaRouche, who had some profound words about the Queen of England, which begins with an F, the Queen. Man is a racist. He's all that, but he was full of truth. And he put some serious bugs in my ear. And everything he told me all those 20 years ago are coming to pass, folks. You are in the most serious trouble that you've ever been in, and you're dilly-dallying around with nonsensically. You don't have jobs. Those Christian preachers deprived you of tens of millions of dollars a weekend, and never created a Black business industrial network to support your children and your families and your non-existent Black community. You don't have a community, fools. All you have is the Christian churches around this country is the only semblance of a community you have, and they're brainwashing you and suppressing you. Community you do not have. Stop saying Black community don't exist. You know, to be in the Black, which most Negroes, you neo-Negroes in America, are not. To be in the Black means to have money, to have property, to have material possessions that give you power and presence in a situation. You don't have that. You talk about you Black. Well, Negroes, you're not even in the Black. How are you Black if you're not in the Black? You ain't got no money.
Mm.
So you are out of the Black, in fact.
Mm-hmm.
Fools. But integration. Let me tell you, brother, I learned from watching it, and I try to tell people all the time, and they took offense to me. Martin Luther King himself knew he made a big mistake with that speech, that big old grandiose speech they're always talking about, that he just can't wait to see little Black boys playing with little white girls and little white boys playing with little Black girls. Shoot, that man doomed us. White folks entrenched themselves so deeply and retreated and said, oh, not on my watch will I ever let you little nappy-headed Negroes be up against my daughter or my son. Martin Luther King and did not even want to be a part of that movement. He was conscripted. He was forced by them coward, greedy-ass preachers into the cause and into the forefront that he was in. He was conscripted. Understand this, folks. He didn't want to do this. Okay, and they did him in. And the same folks, you got a bunch of them still around here, Lowry and all the rest of them, the others that conscripted this man. He didn't know what he was going to meet up with, in total, that he would be used like he was used. He didn't even know that. What he did,
right, that's right.
In integrating us now, I cry out to all you fools: we must disintegrate. We must D-S-Y, integrate. We must disintegrate. We must diss these white people, take our money back, circulate our money in our communities and what have you. I know this. I was there. I saw how they did us in. I saw how all the people who were supposed to be leaders of us did us in.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Brother Paul, I got to get some more calls, but I got to get you on for a full show, Black man. I cannot. I'm going to get your information if that's all right with you.
Well, it's all right because today is the day that I decided, you know, to things happen today, which put me on a path where I am seriously going to tell this story. You have no idea what you're up against. You have no idea, folks. And look what's happening to our children. Look what any of you who have birthed a child, who inseminated a woman and started a child, you should be ashamed of yourself for letting our children become the way they are. But black preachers helped you, you know, to brainwash our children. So you're not totally at fault by your damn selves, okay?
Right, right. It's collective. It's definitely collective. And what I definitely want to have an idea of what we are up against, because we know historically what has happened. So we want to be able to draw some parallels on what we're going into, because we got to fight, and at the end of the day, we got to survive. That's the bottom line. We're gonna have to survive.
Well, brother, let me say one thing to you. So because I speak in absolutes. I get down to it as an advanced biological science major, as an intelligent person, as someone who critically thinks. Understand, folks, you are up against something that is primordial. It's called xenophobia. You must understand that this beast that was limited to a pimple on the planet in the Caucasus Mountains, this creature was only one place on this planet. And everywhere else in on this planet were people, melanated people all over the planet. And when he found out that he was surrounded by all that, he went on a monstrous program to destroy your collective spirituality, your God consciousness, okay, all of these things. And they brutally devised and very, very diabolically devised plans to take you apart because of xenophobia, which means fear of faces, fear of headdresses, fear of war paint on the face, you know, but basically fear of a foreign face and complexion. White people are scared to death of our faces. Man, you got some Negroes out there that scare me on sight, okay? So you can only imagine these cowardly, weasel, you know, ill-formed, half-human, not humankind folks that are out there, these white races, you know, that are out there, these supremacists that are out there, they're superior by force and power that you better get for your damn self soon enough.
Brother, thank you so much, Brother Paul. I appreciate everything that you said and all the information that you're dropping on us. Like I said, I'm going to get your information and talk to you off of the air, and then we're going to schedule as well to have you on for a straight-up show, because you got way too much information that you cannot cram into just a few minutes in a segment.
Yeah, I try to run it in a way just to get folks thinking, but right now, all you little boys out there butt-bumping each other, and all you little girls out there, you know, sucking on each other, let me tell you, okay, you are not ever going to achieve a spirituality and an individuality and a self-assuredness that you need to have when you're being forced into these perversions. Trust me.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Brother Paul. Keep your head up and keep fighting, Black man. Black power.
Indubitably.
That's what I'm talking about. That's Brother Paul Robeson, bearing witness to what I'm telling you. COINTELPRO is real and it exists in various forms today, and I'm telling you, we have a hell of a fight on our hands to survive the onslaught. Let me go now to area code 504-432-504-432. You're on live with Black Power Radio. Your host, Sean Tadam Kweli. We're talking about from Hoover to Mueller, as the COINTELPRO program still continues. Black Power, come on in.
Black Power, Brother Sean. I'm gonna make a comment and I'm gonna come up with a question. Now, the comment is how low down this country is. Now, during World War II, when they said America defeated the Germany, now, many people don't know this, that they grabbed some of these Nazis and they put them in different parts of the country and had them do counterintelligence work. A lot of people, I don't know if a lot of the listeners know that, but that's the truth. And also, do you think COINTELPRO, like a lot of people who had money, some of these entertainers, do you believe that COINTELPRO came after them? People like Paul Robeson, what's the other one? Harry Belafonte, it was so many of them, but do you believe that COINTELPRO came after some of these entertainers who had money? Who want to see our people
absolutely.
Free?
Absolutely. I mean, that was stated in various declassified documents and countless other classified documents. I'm sure that there were many of entertainers who were either socially conscious or connected to conscious movement or movements that were targeted, of various nationalities at that. And we're talking in specific within our own culture, of course. It happens today, which I would say that the entertainers today have a lot harder choice to make, and it's a lot more money involved, but at the end of the day, the struggle is still the struggle, and really, you know, it should be a thing, you know, to me, and I tell them all the time, it should be a thing now where after seeing what has happened to the black movement and happened to our community, they should be, you know, forthright, willing, breaking their neck to, you know, write sums of money for land, institutions, and everything else.
Yeah, because I can hear you. I was listening at Tupac when he said we will have our own political party. To me, my view, I think that's why he had to get killed when he said we're gonna have our own political party. There's gonna be something like the new Black Panther Party, and I think that's why they had to wipe him out.
Well, Tupac was a new Black Panther. He was a new African Panther, which simply means new Black Panther. That began in, you know, he was a part of the youth squad back in like 89, 88, that type of deal. With the Malcolm X grassroots movement and things like that. So, I mean, it was always in him, and he'd always said that if he didn't make it in the entertainment industry, he was going back to the movement. In his words, going underground to work in the movement and be the son that his mother made him to be. Now, there's controversy surrounding how he passed away. Some believe it was political assassination. Others believe it was due to contradictions or internal tensions on the streets between, you know, gang members or tribe members. However it happened, it was a wasted life and a shame. You know, he had a lot to offer a lot of people, and the attention of a large portion of our people. And so, you know, it's a lesson on one hand, and then on the other hand, we got to take the lessons that he left and push that forward to the next generation. You know, there's other youngsters that are coming up in the same condition with the same attitude that do want to see a brighter day for our people, and we got to work with them and stand them up, and that's what we're doing in the new Black Panther Party today.
All right, Brother Sean, I love everything what you're saying. I like everything what that other brother was saying, which is the truth, and you're doing a good job. Black power, brother. Soul power.
Black power. Soul power to you, Brother Harold. Thank you so much. And that is true. The entertainers are targeted. I don't want you all to think that every single entertainer out there is a Sambo. You know, I know that I'm not saying he's not a Sambo. I'm just saying I know that Arsenio Hall just got canceled. And I guarantee you it's still due to what happened between him and the so-called Jews and that appearance of Minister Louis Farrakhan. I guarantee you that. But that'll come out another time, another source. Next caller, your area code is 678-670-678-670, and you're on live. This is Black Power Radio. We're talking about Hoover the Mueller. Does the COINTELPRO program still continue? 2014. Welcome, Black Power. Your thoughts, your comments.
Black Power. You can hear me, brother?
Yes, sir.
All right. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
First of all, the COINTELPRO obviously is this. you know, Barack Obama may benefit from it from some way or form, but the average day black and poor white folks, we don't benefit. It's a hierarchy in this white supremacy structure. I know Dr. Umar, he does a good analysis on the whole white supremacy deal. You got white supremacy to creation, white supremacy to expansion, white supremacy to maintaining, and then you got white supremacy, you know, that's all over, which is, you know, the new white supremacy say that it does not exist. So my advice to black people, we got to operate just like the white man to a certain extent. The honor black man, the message of the black man. What did he say? He said, study the white man for he's successful. He makes no excuses for his failure. He works hard in a collective manner. You do the same. So I'm saying we need a black commission. Just like the five families of the mafia, we need a black commission with black people. We don't need Negroes and Negro pins, Messy Jesse. Like Dr. Collins, you know, he used to roast these brothers because they, you know, overtly, they are selling this out by the second. Jesse Jackson, this Negro is running around pushing this homosexual gendercide. That's what he's doing. So they infiltrated the religious organizations of the black nation right after that, you know, the height of the pinnacle of the civil rights era, they infiltrated the black organization. Then, you know, Bush, he had passed the bill of that faith-based initiative money, like Dr. Umar calls it, the FBI money. And, you know, you receive that money, you are not allowed to engage in any political activity. So they have made the black church, which was the black engine of black revolution, obsolete. So your pastor, your imam, whoever you prescribe to, have become the new FBI in the black nation as a whole. So any revolution that comes around starts talking that black talk, they write them down. Matter of fact, you can go to your local FBI office and you can look who's on the volunteer committee. You have a lot of black pastors who are on those type of committees. So what we need to do is study the white man. And you need to adopt some of his practice and use it for your best interest. I don't like talking about the white man like he's just almighty. He's a mighty beast. I give him that. Yeah. But the white man can be beat. The white man is the devil, was the devil, forever will be the devil. You understand? There's no need to keep calling the white the crack of the devil. But you do need to rise some Negroes because, you know, Negroes, we get real, you know, we suffer from these psychosis and, you know, sort of mental illness that, you know, we just believe the white man out of nowhere. So what we need to do, create a type of body in any organization, create these type of bodies where we have covert operation. Well, who is this Negro? Who is he with? Who is his finance back? If you want to feel, if you want to see the power in America, follow the money. Matter of fact, Rockefeller, the father of that dynasty, he said, I care not. He said, give me the control of the resources and the money of the nation. I care not who writes the laws. Black people, like I always say, we don't need no more black politicians. We don't need the authority. We need money, power, and influence. Money influences politicians. Power dictates authority. Anytime we get a black politician, we think change has come. We need to have an extinction of black politician, in my opinion. We need some more chokewave movements. Black people, we need to create institutional leadership. So one dies, one gets killed, one gets assassinated, one throws in a pen, we got somebody else to step back up. So, you know, Dr. Collins, I see what he was doing. He created institutional leadership. He reproduced himself. My leader, Zula Shabazz, brother like yourself, and Hashim Bazinga, he reproduced himself. So all black revolutionary and whatever persuasion, we must reproduce ourselves. We must build institutions. Strictly just saying the white man's a devil is becoming obsolete because the white man going to continue to do what he's doing, what you're doing besides talking. So what we need to do, you know, support Dr. Umar when he's doing the building his school, the Frederick Douglass, Marcus Garvey, RBG Leadership Academy, and you look that brother up and donate to that cause. Donate to the Economic Blueprint and the Elijah Muhammad. You got organizations that are actually building institutions, and all you need is the support of the black nation. I'm a let that be, and I'm have to go because I don't want to take up too much of your valuable time, God, and I just want to say that. But study the white man.
Oh, man.
That's no excuses for his failure. You worked hard in the community. Black people do the same. I love Donald Sterling. I'm saying that sarcastically. He told the absolute truth. I hope he continue to talk. And you got Negroes saying that's just a situation. They need, if he ran for president, I'll vote for that cracker. At least I know he going to tell the truth. But I leave you like that. I'll with it.
Hey, wa alaikum salam, brother Black Power. I mean, there's nothing like having an opposition or an enemy that'll tell you straight up how to feel and straight up what they're about. And I'd rather have an opposition that's straight up with me and tell me where they stand, let me know where they stand, and an opposition that'll smile in your face but further stick the knife further in my and our back. So if with that position, I totally agree with you. And I'm with that. And of course, I say this that, as I said in the earlier remarks, it's not enough just to have a quote unquote hatred for the white man. That's not enough. That can be used as a motivational factor and energy for some things. It can do that for some. But that can't be all, because that doesn't mean you're going to do no work. Doesn't mean you're going to struggle. Doesn't mean you're going to build the community. And so it can't stop right there. But I say, like Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught us, that we can never lose sight or not remind the generations of who the devil is, because we do have generations that forgot or were never taught. And and so especially with the influx of the integration and the all-inclusiveness, we have to at least intelligently be able to remind the generation what happened before them, why it's going on now, and who did it. But we just cannot get stuck right there. So you're right, brother. The white man is absolutely, and woman is absolutely, the manifestation of devil. The devil, period, point blank. Don't look under the ground. Don't look in the sky. It's on top of the ground with us. But they can be defeated and are being defeated. I mean, let's just be real. As Doc said, let's look at it. They are being defeated by the sciences, forces of nature, and by the organizational efforts of brothers and sisters that are on the ground, that some we know and some we don't know. So we all are encouraged. But as my brother Paul said, we also are very real. That we have some internal contradictions that we have to work on as a people, and that we have to, at the end of it all, go in that spirit of Marcus Messiah Garvey and the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad. We got to go for self. And I do want to take this moment to let you all know, as we talk about our brothers in the Nation of Islam, that we want to send our condolences and our thoughts and prayers out there to the international representative of the Nation of Islam under Minister Louis Farrakhan, Minister Akbar Muhammad, whose daughter had passed. He lost his daughter. He was supposed to be on the radio broadcast with us tonight, and we were going to discuss the legacy of Minister Louis Farrakhan and discuss his times with Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad and all of that good stuff. But his daughter passed, and so with respect to that situation, that's not no easy thing. We know that Minister Akbar is a soldier, but every man needs time to heal and to cope and to deal and just talk to their God and to get off in that corner sometime and even shed some tears. And so we'll reschedule Minister Akbar, but all of you all, keep him in your prayers, your thoughts, you know, your well wishes, inboxing. If you got his number, give him a call. You know, email him, or just keep him in your salutations. And I'm saying that to say that we all family. When one man or one woman hurt, we should all feel that. And we got to get back to that and stop being so daggone concerned just about what's going on with us and be a family. So keep Minister Akbar Muhammad, Brother Minister Akbar Muhammad, the Nation of Islam International Ambassador and Representative, keep him in your prayers, your thoughts, and your positive salutations as you're going throughout your day, as his daughter has transitioned, and made her physical transition. And we give him the strength to continue to push on, and we know that he'll continue to push on and do what he's done for so long, whether it was under Minister Malcolm X or under Minister Louis Farrakhan or whatever he was doing. He's always pushed and always bounced back. And so, Brother Minister Akbar, if you hear this broadcast, I'll let you know, sir, that we love you. Love your family and support you, and that we send you positive wishes and strong salutations to maintain and hold the line and have some comfort in this hour by the grace of God. So that's for Minister Akbar. Let's go to the next call. Your area code is 21254. 214254. You're on live with Black Power Radio. This is Sean Saddam Kweli. You're talking about from Hoover to Mueller. That's COINTELPRO continuing 2014. Welcome, Black Power. Call it 214-254. Your mic is open. One last chance. Call it 214-254. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Black Power, can you hear me?
Black Power, Black Power. Yes, sir. How are you?
Black Power, this is Brother DK. I'm doing great. Doing great. Feeling a lot better, man. We got a wonderful topic tonight. Man, I caught on. I came on. The brother was on fire. I just want to let people know, you know, COINTELPRO is still alive today, and we have to understand that the purpose of COINTELPRO was to stop the rise of the Black Messiah. So that should tell you, let us know who we are amongst our people and let us know our importance amongst our people. If someone were way back dated from the 60s set out to stop us from rising and to shut down the Black Panther Party past and in the near future today, still would shut down, not just to shut down the Black Panther Party, but to shut down the Black nation as a whole, to let us know as people our importance. And we have to hit the streets with these messages, let the people know, that we continue to let people know their importance. And we have to deal with niggerism as necessary, you know what I mean? Because we get approached and confronted by a whole lot of nonsense, nigger and negro mess. And we have to deal with it as necessary. You know, sometimes, you know, we have to meet things with equal amount of force when dealing with things. I'm not saying go out here and whoop on your people, but I'm saying it's time to check some things and put some things in motion, some people in motion to go in another direction. Let them know they can't go the same way we're coming, and they will continue the way that we're moving is forward. So if we continue to move forward, we have to bring some with us, those who are able with us, and we can't waste minimum to none, no time. You know, one thing I did when I studied the Panther Party and its history, those brothers worked with those who were willing to work, and they cleaned up the community by showing example. But they didn't let nonsense interfere with the work that they were doing. You know what I mean? When the brothers infiltrated them, when they were met with infiltration, they were met with infiltration from the inside, from a standpoint of they were working. You know what I mean? They had to catch them while they were working. So if we're doing the work and we're moving in and out of the Black community and we're meeting our people on a level that they can understand, then we're taking not only a defensive stance to what's already happening to us, but we're also taking an offensive stance and putting plays in motion to continue to have us moving forward. You know, so we have to begin right now. We got to get in the community to be real strategic, and there's no more talking and picking and none of that. We actually have to bring back the you know, make visible to the people the things that were important to the party in the past, and that was the programs, standing up against the PE, you know, shouting it out to where the people could say, you know, man, the E brothers and some cold sisters and brothers, they doing something that ain't being done. Because the only modern example that our people see today in the community is what they fall victim to. Goddamn mega churches, the churches, you know what I mean, they fall victim to. I'm not knocking the church, but I'm knocking this. This is what I am knocking. I'm not going to preach to utilize the church as a business, and those businesses come in, they rob the Black community and establish their self-power base in the community and don't do shit for the community. It's worse than having liquor stores on every corner. You know what I mean? And then when you get to dealing with the it's the same thing, you know, with the brothers who are in the mosque, in the community, and the mosque isn't doing anything for the community. You know, I'm knocking anybody who has a station set up in the Black community to where they sponsor from the community, but they're not pulling back out into the community to help build for the people. Because once you start building for the people and you begin to make them aware to what's going on around them, then you let them know what COINTELPRO is, give them that example. See, COINTELPRO is one of the things that made me join the new Black Panther Party. When I came in, these brothers, Aaron Michaels and them, was having a meeting, and that meeting was on COINTELPRO. It was some stuff that, when I started hearing about it, it was like a magnet to my ears. You know what I mean? I was like, that. And it sounded like some of the things that's going on in the hood. You know, I'm seeing this in the hood. You know, people's coming in and they snitching and they coming in, they trying to stop what's going on and hating. And it sounded similar to me, but they were talking about it from a political platform and from a inside and a political structure. And I'm like, you know, man, hold on. If these brothers going through this in here and they Black Panthers, you know what I mean? And I'm going through this. I'm seeing it in the hood. Let me come back to this meeting next week and see what they're talking about. It caught my ear. It caught my eye. And in turn, I end up kept coming to meetings, kept coming to political education class, kept coming to meetings to the point to where I say, you know, this is where I belong, you know. Find out about a huddle of blood. Look, I love y'all, man, but this is where I belong. This is my family. And I end up bringing the brothers from the set to the organization with me. And I start seeing the ones who said, nah, I'm going to stay in the streets, bro. DK, you crazy, man. You crazy, DK. You don't sit around these boys. They got guns. And they talking about fighting the police, man. You know, some of them want to fight and kill each other. I said, nah, I'm going to deal with a new enemy, you know. And I kept that respect in the neighborhood because to the people in the hood, they seen me do something that they were challenged to do, but they couldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. So as they seen me continue to progress a lot, and I stayed a member. Not only did I stay a member, I ranked up within the local chapter, and they seen me out into the community doing the work. You know, it started making people say, you know, it really is something going on. So we hit the community, and we hit the streets. Them same brothers from the free tribes I was once affiliated with became our soldiers when we was in the field. They became my family. You know, they knew they could trust us. They became our family. And we utilized that to our advantage in Dallas for a long time. We utilized it to our advantage in Dallas for a long time. And what happens now is this is Brother DK in his younger days, you know, 20 to 21. Now Brother DK 33 years old. You know what I mean? So we have to go after those youth. And we have to get the youth and begin to become information magnets to them, to where they're attracted by not just what they see in the uniforms, because not saying the uniform isn't important, but they have the information, the propaganda was the tool that kept me here, man. It was a tool that attracted me here. And once we started doing the work, I started getting into some martial arts and some weapons training. I started building on skills that I already knew. It kept me involved. It kept me in the cipher to learn. It kept me in the circle of learning, education, information, exercising. You know what I mean? And once I started putting all that stuff and was participating in what was going on in the community, man, it was nothing for me to say, hey, man, this is where I belong. And where am I at right now today? I'm still with my brothers and sisters. I'm still in this organization. I'm pinned down right now, but I ain't broke down. You know what I mean? And I still got a heart, and I still got a mind, I still got a feet. You know what I'm saying? I still got hands. I'm still able to move, and I'm going to do the work. You know what I mean? If we have to do it, you know, one day at a time, I'm taking one day at a time until I'm able to get back on the speed and continue to move through the neighborhood. But I still have a mouthpiece and a heart to move and let the people know what's necessary for us to build. And one thing we got to do is, like I say, man, we have to jump out in them streets again and continue to hit our people, because it's an extreme. You talk about what just happened to Brother Fahim. You know what I mean? What just happened to Brother Fahim? Let me say this. There were times in Dallas, Texas, where we did drug patrols. You know what I mean? This brother died doing something that we used to do. It was an activity that had to take place. We did drug patrols. I remember days Aaron Michaels went in front of Crack House and spray painted Crack House on the concrete. And the dealers called the cops. I'm talking about the trap boys, the dope boys, called the police and tried to run us off. And the police came by and seen Panthers out there with guns and kept rolling. You know what I mean? They kept rolling. Because these are true stories. Kept rolling. And if you think it's a game, you take a look at a documentary called No Southern Comfort. You know what I mean? We talked about this in No Southern Comfort. You'll see Brother DK in some of them younger days, and you'll start seeing some of these things that I'm talking about in truth and reality. Those drug patrols were things that helped build that community, because there's some kids out there who were like some of the brothers and sisters in my community who they didn't like their mom and dad on drugs, you know, but like me, they had to deal with it because that's what was going on. And there was some out there who didn't care because they sold to their mamas and daddies. You know what I mean? Now, once we start changing the conditions of our people, then we regain the trust. We rebuild a level of trust with them. And then they say, oh, this is my new family. When you begin to do more than what the OGs and in the community and the hip-hop and mom and daddy doing for them, you become their mom and daddies in a positive way. And once you do that in a constructive manner, then they look into you, and they look at you like, you know, you my brother, you my sister, you become their new family. You got their loyalty. You hit the streets with that kind of work. That's why the goddamn government say you're an enemy. You're public enemy number one as a new Black Panther Party or as a revolutionary people, because the things that they put out here and they meant for our destruction and our demise, we use it to improvise and we use it to build a people. Then you are, that's the reason why they say we the Black Messiah, because we rebirthing and we building and we birthing nations. We doing something that white folks ain't doing no more. You know what I mean? They're not doing it no more. They're becoming extinct on all levels except for self-destruction. You know what I mean? So we get to rebirth and regenerate ourselves and our people. You know what I mean? Not only our people. You think about what we do. Other nations that come from our nation. Every nation that comes from our nation, that's a nation of color, begins to almost do the same damn thing if they're around us. Every time we do something, we momentum set us. We set the torch on things of how it should go, and people follow suit with it. So everybody can vibe with that because we got that rhythm. We got that beat that continues the momentum and keeps the momentum going. Every time we walk, talk, and go out and we do the business in the streets, it's like sounding and resounding the war drums. So once our people hear the war drums and once they hear the sounds of the drums, once they hear the sound of the war drum, they come to those drums. They come to that sound. And once they come to that sound, what they get is, like I say, they see, oh, these are the Black men and women who are rebirthing the Black nation. People want to vibe with that. That's why we begin to be enemies to people like the government. And they want to stop what we're doing on those levels. If we was out here killing each other, selling dope to the people and being, you go, and she might be in her sleep, but you can wake up. We're out here killing our people, selling dope to the people, it wouldn't be a threat to them. We'll be feeding their program of self-destruction. We'll be feeding the program of self-destruction that they have. But when they see us out here rebirthing, reawakening, rechanneling, improvising that they meant for destruction, we become public enemy number one and target. You know, we need haters to survive. We need haters to survive. So we need the government to continue to hate because it's going to motivate us and put us in our proper places. You know what I mean? And let us know that we got to go to work. Going to work means when we get off of Black Power Radio, we go in and we tune our family up. Once we tune our family up, they go out and tune their friends up. We go to work, we tune our coworkers up. We Black Power everything we do and make our goddamn bosses mad. It forces us to get, sometimes it make us get fired from the white man's job. We have to create jobs for ourselves. Do you know what I mean? We have to, because we can't work for nobody. We have to. It makes us deal with our neighbors of peers of our nature, and it makes us deal with people on our level, and it makes us reestablish ourselves in the community. You know, one thing, I don't like to see Negroes move out the hood and move to the suburbs. Man, I tell you. Now, I don't mind you moving to somewhere different because you got a little money, you want to do a little different, you want to protect your investment. But if you're going to do that, you find something out there in that community that work the platform everywhere you go. And if you can work the platform on any ground you stand on, whoo, my brother, my sister, now, that's a Panther. Because no matter where I go, I'm going to be DK. You know what I mean? DK is the king. And the king on a different level, you know what I mean? I choose not to call myself the boss no more because the boss carries negative contents. The boss is one who tells people what to do, demands people to do things, and just it's an attitude and it's an aggression that comes with that. After my recent situation and what just happened with me, I spoke with my spiritual father, and he said, man, your ancestors saved you, changed my name. You know what I mean? Once I got rid of that name, I know it's really time to work now. DK the Boss when I was a nigga, but I just had a whole different conscience. But right now, that my ancestors saved me and put me on a whole other place, it changed my perspective on how I'm going to deal with my people. You know what I mean? And now I'm going to have to deal with them on a level where somebody take the time to wrap me and not allow me to not be harmed and nothing, just broke up and not let death take me after a car wreck, of the massive car wreck like I was just there. And I'm able to talk to you guys on Black Power Radio for the second week and still have this kind of fire in my heart. My lungs not hurting like they was last week. My chest still messed up, the ribs still hurt, my legs bent up, head hurt, but I can breathe. Oh, man, I'm good. I'm going to deal with my people. I'm going to wrap my people in the same kind of protective comfort. I'm going to build this nation. And I can't do it by myself. We're going to do it together. And I ain't let nothing stop us from making it to the top, not disunity, not no kind of classes, fashions, who the chairman, who not the chairman, none of this crap. Can't none of that stuff. It ain't stopped us yet. It ain't going to stop us now. We'll live 20 more years, bro, giving the white man, giving the government hell. I don't care if it's a black man in the government that don't like it. We don't get a government hell. You know what I mean? We're going to give them hell.
Yes, sir.
From the cradle, we've been doing it since the young baby, since Panther Puff, we're going to do it till we die. And when we die, we're going to still give them hell because we're coming back as loyal and raw ancestors. We're going to power some more people. Black power.
Black power. Brother Minister, it's good to hear from you, brothers and sisters. This is Minister D.K. Brown. This is the National Minister of Defense, our National Defense Captain. And as we told you all, he was in a massive car accident just a few weeks back. And by the grace of the God and the ancestors, survived. And he's sounding good. You're sounding strong. You're firing off, which means that you're coming back to yourself. And,
I can breathe, brother. I can breathe. It's not, like I say, man, my lungs working, man. When my lungs collapsed on me, man, it's a detrimental thing. You can see your body bent up, but every time you take a breath in, you don't know if that air coming out and it's getting to the right places. You're good, but man, I can breathe. I'm back. I'm good. I'm just working right now. I gotta get how to walk and make sure my ribs and everything get right. But I've been doing something on a different level to heal myself, and it's working, you know what I mean? So I have to continue to do the work. And everything else going to come with it. You brothers and sisters, I want to thank y'all too, man, for being as supportive as y'all have. You know what I mean? I want to thank the family out there, the community, people who have been supportive as they have, because I've been receiving a lot of love. And all them prayers and all that love been coming from y'all that's been playing this part. Black power.
Black power. And give me a call. Give me a call when we get off the air, brother. Man, I got to discuss some things with you. On that note, but call me when we get off.
Black power.
All right, black power. Black power. And that's important. We want to let Brother Calvin to speak and get that out there because he just went through something horrific. And so it's always good to hear from our National Minister of Defense. Let me take the call here, air code 562-239. 562-239. You're on live with Black Power Radio. We're talking about COINTELPRO. Does it exist in 2014? Or is it just our imagination? Black Power, welcome. Come on in.
Yeah, Black Power, and Assalamu alaikum, brother. National Chief of Staff, brother Ali on the West Coast, brother.
Black Power.
Black Power, you? Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir, brother. Doing well, brother, and I know you're doing well. The show was awesome, as usual, brother. Educational, brother, informative, loving it. I want to just say that Allahu Akbar, brother, for brother, our minister, brother, brother survived, brother. I mean, our prayers were going out to him every day. Myself and brother Mike, brother Sonic, brother Sion, sister Sion, we were all praying from the West Coast that our brother was healed, brother, and alive and saved, brother. And to hear him on the radio was just made my day, brother, in so many words, brother, National Chief of Staff. And
yes, sir.
But concerning COINTELPRO, brother, this thing with so-called COINTELPRO, whatever, brother, yeah, I mean, we're well aware of it with old, like you said, old Gay Edgar Hoover and all his madness, brother, coming through the 30s and 40s. And, you know, but like, brother, I always go back to, and I always say this, that, brother, when we were so-called emancipated or whatever, when we stopped being property, when we were no longer able to fund this man, to make money for this man, there was a green light on us. You know what I mean, brother? To destroy us at all costs has always been. You know, COINTELPRO was some later stuff because we were starting to really organize with civil rights and Then you had a good or bad. You know, you were going to deal in the 60s, as my father told me. He said Dr. King came. He said you had the Muslim, then you had Panther, you had all these radical groups. But what my dad said is that we were telling the government that you're going to deal. You can either deal with Dr. King the peaceful way, or you can come over here and deal with us the violent way, but you're going to deal. And so all that was established at that time. But, brother, since we stopped becoming, we were no longer property, now, there has been a green light on the black man, woman, and child to destroy us. Nothing has changed. You know, I mean, you know, they try to organize, they try to, you know, like I said, through this boob tube, through the movies, through the psycho madness that Dr. Umar Johnson talks about all the time, you know. But there's nothing changed with that. I tell brothers and sisters all the time, our unity, as the message has said, brothers, like an atomic bomb. And until we unify, brother, this man is going to continue coming. You know, I mean, you should see here in Los Angeles, brother. It's you know, nobody wants to really unite with the black man. The black man and woman are alone here in Los Angeles, brother. It's nothing like what, you know, they try to, you know, pretend. It's nothing like that. It's our unity is going to be our survival. We had an event Saturday, brother. Brother Rick Ross was there. The original Rick Freeway Ricky was there. Brother Mike and all of us went out to Riverside. And, you know, when I was talking to Brother Chairman about it, I said, nothing matters if we don't unify. We can try to unite with others. Claude Anderson said, none of that will work. You have to clean your own backyard, your own house. You got to unify your own people. You know, that's true unity. And the black man and black woman, we're number one, the Alpha and Omega. So when we unify, that's when you're going to see something. But look, brother, I've just got fired up listening to that, brother, and always yourself, brother, and hearing Brother DK, and my heart's pounding now. I'm going to let you go. But thank you so much, brother, National Chief of Staff, and Black Power, brother, and let's stay strong and love each other, brother.
Hey, brother, Black Power, thank you so much for your comments and your information, brother, and thank you so much for your fire all the time. Sending our love to the comrades out there on the West Coast.
Yeah, and sorry for being so long-winded, brother. I get fired up, brother.
I'm not. No, it's fine. It's fine. Black Power.
Black Power.
All right. Let me take this caller here, air code 760-245. 760-245. You're live with Black Power Radio. We're asking the question, has J. Edgar Hoover's program of COINTELPRO been passed down to Robert Mueller and the FBI today? Or are we losing our minds? Come on in, your thoughts, your questions, your comments. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, and assalamu alaikum to you, brother.
Wa alaikum salam. Black Power, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm also on the West Coast. I'm in Southern California. And, you know, COINTELPRO is still live and well, and with this push with homosexuality and these types of perversions, that's part of the plan, you know, is to depopulate particularly the black nation. And I also want to say this, you know, like the previous brother that you was talking to, he said, hey, you know, once we unite, you know what I'm saying, it's stronger than an atomic bomb. You know, we got to unite and everything. And out here in California, there's a lot of brothers and sisters are really lost, you know. And I don't see, as far as the relationship goes, I don't see a whole lot of, like, black man dating or being married with their own kind out here, you know. It's like, you know, everybody's just trying to be Hollywood, or should I say Holly Weird, you know, and in the entertainment aspect of it all, you know. I mean, you have some of people that, you know, that's not known and stuff that's helping the community and everything, but majority of them are just looking out for themselves, you know. They have this white capitalistic mind, say, hey, you know, I'm not going to help my people, I'm just going to help myself and benefit white people, you know. And that's pretty much all I have to say, brother. And keep doing what you're doing, and black power to you.
Black power, brother. I appreciate your comments, because that's exactly what it is capitalism 101, dog eat dog. I got mine. Get yours. The attitude that has helped to that we've been having being colonized, but it's helped to destroy our community. So that is exactly what it is, and that is a part of counterintelligence. So thank you so much for your comment, brother.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's important. That's important to recognize. Brothers and sisters, I know that I promised you all that I wanted to get some information to you before this show closed. And I know we're not streaming on the web, but you all who are with me online are hearing this live, and they'll hear this after the show goes off. So I want to make sure this gets in here. As we were talking about Imam Jamil Al-Amin, and what happened to him, his family reports that this is from his wife Karima and the youngest son, and they said they went to see him and his jaws were swollen from an abscess. So he had swollen jaws from an abscess, and they had seen this before in October of 2013, and they say it took about 10 months. He waited about 10 months to go and see a dentist or try to see what he could do about it or could be done for it, and the condition has gotten worse. And now it's been an additional couple of months, over 5 months. So now before submitting another request to see a dentist, and he has not received the care for this potentially damaging and infectious abscess that is in the Imam Jamil Al-Amin, formerly H. Rap Brown's, mouth. And so he's going to need some care. He needs some care. He's been requesting to see a physician, but his request has been ignored. And his breathing is now infected. And he says that he feels toxic fluid into his chest when he breathes. Again, he had swollen jaws from what is believed to be an abscess that is affecting his breathing, and that also affects the bloodstream. You could die from toxic shock, toxicity. And so he said his breathing is affected. He believes his toxic fluid entering his chest cavity, says his legal team is concerned with his health, yet overwhelmed with his federal habeas, okay? And so, again, those of you who know about activism and know how to get activism accomplished, you got to get out there and get it done. We got to get out there and get it done. And what we're asking is that that you write letters of concern to Mr. Charles E. Samuels. He's the director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Charles E. Samuels, director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons. Those of you who wish to get involved in our campaign for Imam Jamil Al-Amin's request for urgent care that has been ignored, we ask that you call Mr. Samuels at area code 202-307-3198. Again, that's 202-307-3198 for Mr. Charles E. Samuels, the director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons. And we also say that you should call Governor Nathan Deal and request that Imam Jamil Al-Amin be brought back to Georgia, bring him back to Georgia so he can be closer to his family and his loved ones. With his age and his health declining, placement at the Federal Medical Center in Butner, North Carolina, may help his condition. So you all also be willing to call Governor Deal. His number is 404-656-1776. Again, that's 404-656-1776 for Governor Nathan Deal. Tell him to place Comrade Imam Jamil Al-Amin back in Georgia, in the state of Georgia, and let's call Mr. Charles E. Samuels, the director of the Federal Bureau of Prisons, to force him to do what's right by the imam and answer the health pleas and the health cause for Imam Jamil Al-Amin. Two very, very, very important numbers there to call and cause for action there. And let's also be sure to help the family of Brother Fahim Ali. As his comrades, family, and friends, we all work together to help with his burial cost. As we know, he was a New Black Panther and a member, a Black Legion member of the Republic of New Africa, or the RNA. And so we're all coming together, different organizations coming together, even those with different political ideologies, different beliefs, and all kind of stuff. We're coming together for our brother, who soldiered in the cause. And, you know, we're helping his mother. His mother is helping to put her son. That's tough, tough stuff for any mother. No mother expects to outlive their son or their daughter. But this mother has to put her son in the ground because of some what Dr. Mutulu Shakur calls some horizontal aggression. A black man lost his life because he was working against that dope traffic, they tell us, allegedly working against that dope traffic. And so we want to be able to give our brother, comrade, a decent burial. And so even though we know that we, you know, none of that will bring him back, which is what we could do. We wish we could bring the brother back to work in the cause, even though we know that his testament is written and his life story is written. We can give him a revolutionary, and going to give him a revolutionary send-off and help to give some financial security to his mother. And so what you can do is you can send money to Sister Livia Merritt. This is Brother Fahim's mother, Livia Merritt. And you can send, they're asking that you send money to Western Union. Her home is in Ellaville, Georgia, area code 31806. Ellaville, Georgia, Sister Livia Merritt, LIVIAMERRITT. Again, that's LIVIAMERRITT. In Ellaville, Georgia, 31806 via Western Union. And, you know, they'll be having his funeral this Wednesday on the 4th there in Oglethorpe, Georgia. Okay. And so we want to help the family of Brother Fahim Ali and honor his legacy as a soldier and a warrior in the liberation struggle of black people, and carry on. As though the torch may have been dropped, we pick it up and we carry on in his name and carry on in the struggle. And so let's remember Brother Comrade Imam Jamil Al-Amin. Let's remember all of our political prisoners and prisoners of war, Brother Sekou Kambui, and all of them who are locked down now behind the prison walls. Remember all the political prisoners out here on the so-called streets, the concrete jungles. Let's remember all of us out here and those who need some liberation out here. Make sure that you call those numbers that I gave you for Comrade Imam Jamil Al-Amin. Make sure that you help the family of Brother Fahim Ali. And let's make sure that we keep Brother Minister Akbar Muhammad, International Representative for Minister Louis Farrakhan and the Nation of Islam, in our prayers, as him and his family have lost their daughter, Sister Yuri. Miss Yuri Kochiyama, who was right there with Minister Malcolm X as he was assassinated. The Asian woman who was holding his head passed away today, 93 years young. Sister Maya Angelou passed away just a few days ago. Great ones are leaving from amongst us. But what that means is that greater ones or great ones have to step in to fill in the gap and hold the line. And so remember, it's black power to black people, and the spirit of our comrades is power to the people. Remember I told you, if black people are not free, there's nobody in the world that can be free by any means. Stay tuned and stay close. We're coming back at you. Black Power Radio.
Yeah. Got a round of truth for this one, man.
Black and brown parades.
So all my concrete gorillas.
Black and brown parade, America, let's rumble. PQ, we take the no time for staying humble. Streets that we take over, watch your Babylon crumble. Stand hand to hand with me gunning out his jungle. Black and brown parade, America, let's rumble.
I'll never pledge of allegiance with the fake United States, so I got every bullet in gray, fuck the states. I'll never be deceased with the mark of the beast, and I'll never be a slave for the RFID before.